BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Waller Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you. Well, it's a big show.
It's a fooled you.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by MemlanePromo.com and PWMania.com. I am, of course, Sorokin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Hello, hello.
As I put out previews for the show, as I normally do, I went through the 5-point preview, and one thing I'd never included in my preview was the return of the Big Show. We mentioned it on WTR last night, but their third key point of their 5 points was the Big Show returns tonight on Raw. Maybe on the app? Anyone watch the app? Was he there?
Lies. All lies.
We'll get into that in a little bit. Anyway, let's get into the show. Show started off with Brad Maddox and his drum roll, which is fantastic. If you do not like Brad Maddox's drum roll, there's something wrong with you, because it's hilarious.
It's ironic because it's the biggest letdown ever.
Exactly, that's why it's so funny. So, Brad Maddox in the ring, he brings out John Cena. And, Cena basically was, asked the question, why did he choose to face Bryan at SummerSlam? Cena said he chose Daniel Bryan because of Maddox. He said he listened to the WWE Universe and the choice was really clear. Maddox said, perhaps John Cena thinks he can easily beat Bryan, and Bryan closely resembles a troll than a future WWE champion. Maddox said Bryan is unstable and he has relationship issues.
Which, if you've seen the clip of John Cena and Nikki and what they talk about, irony. Such irony. Just complete irony.
Very ironic there. We'll probably get on more of that Thursday. The PMA is still on the rack. Cena replied that maybe these accusations are just accusations, and then Daniel Bryan stormed down to the ring with such a glee, a smile on his face. He was excited. He was happy to be there. And the crowd was happy for him, too, because we had some Daniel Bryan's chance.
We did.
Daniel Bryan knew the crowd was disagreeing with Brad Maddox's assessment of him. Maddox asked Bryan why he thinks Cena chose him at SummerSlam. Cena interrupted and said, Maddox and the dumbasses he works for oftentimes ignore the God-given talent when it's hidden behind a beard. Cena then, said, if it's all about strength and size, then just give this title to the Great Khali. Cena said he can look at Shawn Michaels, Rey Mysterio, and the late Eddie Guerrero, insert Eddie Guerrero chants here, who proved it's not just about size and strength. Cena said the audience loves Brian, and he's proud of that, but he picked Brian because he earned it and deserves it. He said being a WWE champion is about facing the absolute best competition at all time. And sometimes that, well, comes from an unlikely source, and Brian might not be in this match if he didn't pick him, but he picked him because Brian earned it. Cena said he's not just going to hand Brian his title, though, and then he sent the contract. Cena continued that he's going to SummerSlam to defend his title against the best competition in WWE right now, but he will prove that at SummerSlam that even the best isn't good enough. Brian signed his contract and then was, you know, ready to speak, but Brad Maddox thanked everyone for joining us for this conversation, and then we had a loud no from Daniel Bryan, telling him, don't interrupt me. Bryan said he has waited his entire career for this title shot, and he has proved that he deserved it. Maddox said Cena thinks so. A vocal minority of the audience thinks so, which got a loud boo, but not everyone does, which is why he will give Bryan a chance to prove his critics wrong by having a match tonight. Yay, a Daniel Bryan match. Wait, no. Matches. Maddox says he does not think Brian will prove himself tonight, which then went a no and a yes chant between Maddox and the crowd and Brian. So, yeah, that's our opening segment.
So, this was a great promo by Cena, and this was a great promo by Brian, and Brad Maddox's pants were hideous. And somebody needed to go find The Undertaker to tombstone his ass just for those pants.
Those pants were definitely blue.
That was some kind of electric blue I've never even seen before, and the high def did not help.
He got himself some nice blue jeans. What do you want from him?
No, honey, those weren't blue jeans.
They're blue.
They were blue, but they weren't denim.
They look like blue jeans. I said they look. They might not have been, but that's what they look like to me.
I think you're in some kind of weird-ass denial.
Maybe I am.
But, yeah, this was a nice opening segment. It shows that Brian and Cena are walking into the match with a mutual respect of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it's an interesting twist, because you kind of expect that heel face dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't seem to be getting that this go round, so I'm curious to see where it kind of goes from here.
Right. And remember, Daniel Bryan didn't want John Cena's help, but we'll get into that in a bit later on. Up next, Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio in a non-title match. And good God almighty, Sheamus. Oh,
that bruise looks sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you haven't seen Sheamus's bruise on his leg, God, he took a beating at Money in the Bank. It swelled up and now it's just really heavily bruised. And you could tell it was hurting him during this match.
Yeah, he was favoring the leg, so he's like half selling it, half not selling it, basically, and Del Rio kept kicking it and hitting it, and it's like, that really can't feel good.
No, it can't. And this was a pretty good match between the two. You could tell they worked over Sheamus' legs, and at the end he was going for White Knights, but his leg collapsed, allowing Del Rio to roll up Sheamus for the win.
Which was a really nice touch.
Mm-hmm. And it shows that Del Rio is willing to take advantage of his opponents when they're injured. You know,
right.
Like he did with Ziggler and now Sheamus.
Gee, isn't that a typical heel behavior?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So, we move on at that point, and we go backstage. And Renee Young welcomes Booker T and Teddy Long, and they were talking about how Vicky Guerrero replaced them as general manager. Booker respects McMahon's decision, but it was shocked. And Long then spoke up in that he filled in for Booker for 3 months and took so much abuse while Booker T was gone. Booker was trying to calm down Teddy, saying, no, he was legit injured. I tore my tricep or something. And, you know, they had a little, you know, argument, blah, blah, blah. And then Long prompt noted that, there goes Booker again. He's with that physical aggression thing. And Long said maybe McMahon made the right decision getting rid of them. And, yeah. Yeah, that was something.
I hate it when couples fight. And especially on camera. It's so awkward. It really is. I'm sorry. It's just, it's... That's what it felt like. It's I'm almost sitting there going, paging Dr. Shelby!
Yeah, but they're not even a... It was horrible fighting, too. It's like, oh, yeah, let's fight, because we have to. It just seemed weird and out of place. Plus, it's Booker, well, it's Booker and Teddy. This is my problem with it. Apparently, if you get fired, you can stay around.
Worked for Vicky?
Exactly. Apparently, you get just fired. You could lose your power, but you can just walk around backstage, I guess.
Well, I think if you're fired as GM, I don't think that means you're out of the company, because you're still technically under contract. So you can stay around, and also I think as ex-WWE employees, they can come backstage anytime they want.
I guess. But why did Vicky have to buy a ticket?
Because it's Vicky.
See, there's logicalness missing. Yes,
I know there's logicalness missing, but still, it's what do you want from me? That's the best explanation I got.
You were supposed to provide the answers.
They like Booker and Teddy better? I don't know. I mean, Booker's a Hall of Famer, so there's his excuse, and melt Teddy Long, he just doesn't go away.
Right. No, it's not just logic, Kinkins, it's logicalness.
Yes, logicalness.
That's tonight's word, logicalness. Anyway, up next, Christian versus Titus O'Neil.
Who the hell brings a whistle to a wrestling match?
Titus O'Neil. That said, this was this match overachieved.
This was a very good match. They mixed very well together. I will give them that.
Yes, and the overachiever, Christian, won.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise, yeah. We then get footage of what happened on SmackDown, where Ryback destroyed Jericho, and then Josh Matthews interviewed Ryback, calling him a representative of the WWE audience. Ryback said, I hate average. The big guy needs to eat. People like you deserve to be intimidated by me. Ryback then vowed to injure Matthews, so he ran off, and you know, Ryback said, thank you, and then he just sat there and breathed heavily for a little bit, and we went to break.
Ryback. He's such a special little snowflake. He really is. He's trying so hard. And it's just not working.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's like, I really just want to genuinely hate you for all the right reasons, but I really genuinely hate you for all the wrong reasons. It's like, he's so disingenuous. It's not funny.
Right.
He's almost a parody of a bad wrestling heel.
Yeah.
That's how bad he is. Like, it's so blatantly obvious he's trying to be a jerk to everybody that it's not coming off as natural. It's coming off as really forced and really just, yeah. So, you know what? Teddy Long isn't doing anything. Get Teddy to manage Ryback.
Holla holla player?
Holla holla player. That's, you know, Teddy can bring that much needed charisma to Ryback, because God knows the boy needs some.
And then we come back from break, and Mark Henry is in the ring. He talked about how he's proud of being born and raised here in Texas, which popped the crowd. Henry said he's proud of growing up down the street in Silsbee, Texas. Henry said he's proud after he put in a match against Cena at Money in the Bank. But what he's not proud of is what happened to him last week when the Shield attacked him. He said his heart doesn't pump Kool-Aid. Because May tough, and he's ready to dish out what he took last week. He used a Kool-Aid line. Mark Henry did. Thank you, Mark Henry.
Thank you, Mark Henry.
You made the internet's day.
Coming to a meme near you.
Henry called out the Shield to come fight him because he's right here. And, well, the Shield obliged. They're ready. They're fighting. Here come Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. They charge to the ring. They surround Mark Henry. They start beating him down. And then all of a sudden, it's the Usos. And they got a pop.
They did get a pop. Not much of one, but they got a pop.
They got a pop. So the Usos cleared the ring of the Shield with Mark Henry. Reigns was left alone, and they pulled him out.
Poor Roman.
Poor Roman.
They just dropped him on his face.
Yeah, they kind of did.
It's like, come on, Roman. We're leaving now.
We have to go. Let's go. Way to go, Roman. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Grabs.
We're late for dinner. Let's go. Gotta drink the Kool-Aid. So it looks like we're going to get the Usos and Mark Henry versus the Shield in some shape or form coming up.
Gee, sounds like they could do that at SummerSlam.
I won't have a problem with that.
Hey, I got my boys. I was happy. I didn't get as much of them as I usually do and wanted, but I'll take what I can get at this stage.
Then we go backstage. Daniel Bryan was warming up for his matches tonight. John Cena walked into the locker room, talked to Daniel Bryan. Cena ran down Brad Maddox, and Bryan told Cena not to worry about him facing all the opponents tonight. Bryan said he's fine on his own. Cena replied that he just wants Bryan to make it to SummerSlam in one piece. As if he was reading from a cue card, this recap says, Bryan robotically said Maddox was right, that this is an opportunity for him to prove that he belongs. Tonight I'm going to fight, and I'm going to win! He then said, please don't deprive me of this opportunity. Bryan said if Cena comes down tonight during his matches tonight, it will prove that everything Cena said out there was a load of crap. So Bryan stomped off, and Cena was there. Okay, whatever. So there you go. Nice little segment.
It was. It was a really nice segment. Again, it's that mutual respect thing for each other, and it's Bryan with that inferiority complex is kind of coming back a little bit, and it's showing through where he doesn't want to have help. He wants to do it on his own. And I can see some tension next week between Bryan and Cena, where Cena came down and said, well, we'll get into that.
We'll get into that. Up next, Dolph Ziggler takes on Darren Young.
Solid match.
Ziggler wins. After the match, Big E comes out, tries to lay out Ziggler for a moment. AJ was watching from ringside, but Ziggler made the comeback and got Big E out of the ring. Langston tried to get back in the ring. Ziggler slid right by him to the outside, and Ziggler taunted both of them and even screamed, aren't you going to get him? So there you go.
Yeah, it's... You're sitting there and you're waiting. It's like, okay, there's Ziggler. Where's Big E and AJ? And they came out after the match, and it was a nice, solid escape for Ziggler, and AJ looked nuts. Again, we didn't get as much as of AJ as I wanted, but okay, we got to see her, and that's important.
They're pacing themselves this week.
They really are.
They have a long week. They're taping 4 TV shows this week.
Oh, that's right.
Because tomorrow they're taping Raw, all then they're doing 2 SmackDowns. Creative is pacing themselves.
Which means there's going to be spoilers. Sweet.
So, there's that. We then come back for your segment of the night. Yes, folks, segment of the night.
Oh, my God.
Ms. TV.
You play the audio of this, I will kill you through the phone.
Is there really something to actually play from this?
No, there isn't. That's what I'm saying. If you play it, I will kill you.
Alright, so here's what happened. Eva Marie slapped Jerry Lawler. And we saw Brie Bella's nipple.
She didn't move, and we saw her nipple.
And that's the one without the fake tits.
And apparently she was cold.
Apparently. Because if you have a Facebook page or a Twitter, and you follow anything dealing with wrestling, you saw her nipple. Welcome to the internet.
This is why you don't wear a completely open front Jennifer Lopez style dress to anything other than just walking down a red carpet. And you nail that sucker down with double-sided tape, super glue, and staples. Just pointing that out.
This fashion advice brought to you by RackRadioShow.com.
I kind of want to rant on this segment just a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
First of all, before I start this rant, I understand what the actual point of this segment was. It was to promote Total Divas, which premieres this weekend.
This Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern on E!
Yeah, fine, great, wonderful. But what does the segment serve? Were you literally, this was what, 5 to 10 minutes of Raw?
It's like 5 minutes with the clip, yeah.
And it's like you have all the cast in the ring in evening gowns, which made no sense.
They were dressed for a show. I don't know.
They were dressed for something. I don't know. And you have Miz interviewing all of them. And then they show a clip from the show. And it's like they didn't talk about the show. They introduced the two new divas. You had the wannabe Ariel, I don't even know her name, like, get introduced to Jerry Lawler and she snubs him, and then she gives him the weakest slap on the history of the planet. Like, seriously, my dead grandmother could hit him harder than she did.
He was getting to know his future ex-wife.
She's too old for him.
How old is she?
She's in her 20s. She's too old.
Yeah, that's true.
But still, it's... What was... other than to introduce us to these two new divas, it's like, what was the point of this? Seriously, you could have done this without having them all in the ring. You could have said, oh, hey, by the way, watch Total Divas, like they do every other commercial break. I mean, they push the show harder than the freaking app. And it's like, you could have just showed the clips from the show, and the clip that they showed from the show wasn't even the one that would have grabbed people. You should have freaking showed the one of John Cena and Nikki sitting in the damn restaurant, and she asks him about marriage. That's the one you want to see!
Which, by the way, we will get into Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Rack.
Oh, we are so going to get into that Thursday night. But still, it's like nobody cares about them going to work out. Everybody and their brother knows you are going to see Nikki and Cena and... what's the other one's name?
Brie.
Sorry. Mate. Temporary brain fart. Anyway. And Brie and Brian together. Okay? We know this is like... we know that's going to happen, plus you're going to get one of the Funkadactyls and an Uso, and then whoever the other ones are dating. And we're also going to get Natalya and Tyson. So, but the main focus of this is it's the Bellas and it's Cena and Bryan. That's what you should be pushing. Not, oh yeah, we're going to go work out, and we're going to go meet the new divas. Yeah, nobody cares. Seriously, nobody cares. That clip made me not want to watch that show. I hated this segment. I hated it so hard. And I sat here and literally watched it, and I'm like, what is the point of this segment other than to push the show? Please, somebody explain to me what the point of this segment is. And then Mace sent us the picture of the Bella nipple, and then it's like, well, there you go.
See, when this segment came out, I thought, oh, they're going to talk back and forth, and I'd be interested in hearing them try to talk back and forth. But that didn't happen. So, it was that.
By the way, I love how Natty was the only one who was dressed like an actual lady. Go Natty.
Yeah. Well, she is Natty. Kind of awesome. We then go, well, backstage when we come back from break, and Brad Maddox is once again on the telephone.
Two for two. Hey! Hey. Back. How you doing?
Yeah,
another good week, huh?
Yeah. Hey, let me get this straight. So you don't think Daniel Bryan is big enough?
Well...
You don't think Daniel Bryan is strong enough? You, in your vast experience, don't think that Daniel Bryan is championship material?
Well, yeah, I didn't...
See, it almost sounds like someone put words in your mouth. Here's the thing. I don't care what the old man thinks.
Oh.
What I think is that Daniel Bryan quite possibly could be the future of the WWE. You know why I didn't go out there tonight and override all your little decisions you made?
You liked them.
No. It's because I feel right now that it really doesn't matter what you throw at Daniel Bryan. He is so driven, he will overcome anything. Here's the thing, Brad. There's two trains leaving this station.
Okay.
You need to choose wisely which train you get on. Because one train is the future. The other train is a dead end.
Gotcha. Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
Doing well, yes.
I feel for you, Brad. I mean... My dad, my husband, Rock Hard Place,
yeah,
I've been there.
Yeah.
Really been there. And, you know, I've got an idea that I think might help.
Okay.
I haven't thought it through yet, but, you know, I'll talk to you as soon as I do.
Okay.
You just got to make sure you get on board.
Get on board. The train. I'm on board.
The train?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm on board.
All right.
All aboard the Ho train?
Not quite.
No? Crazy train?
Crazy train's better.
Okay. I love Hunter. Hunter was good. Do you agree or disagree?
They were both good.
Well, yes.
Again,
was
it's that good... Good cop, bad cop, but now you're kind of wondering if Hunter and Steph are playing him together or separately.
Mm-hmm. It looks like they might be. So we'll see.
We'll see, but I think it's more... What was funny was when Hunter was like, and one's a dead end. It's like, wow, he's really slamming Vince kind of hard.
Mm-hmm. He really went in and took those shots.
And you know Vince is right behind the camera, like, just flicking Hunter off the whole time.
Right. So we move on. Cody Rhodes versus Fandango.
Most awkward transition ever.
There's been worse. So yeah, they had a match. Sandow was great on the commentary, and Cody wins.
Fandango's wiggle makes me uncomfortable.
Cody Rhodes trying to do a moonsault makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, that was a little scary. Cody, honey, you know.
Yeah, Cody. Don't.
Oh, wait, look, it's the Shield.
It's the what?
It's the Shield. They're on my TV.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, Cody, don't do a moonsault because Fandango had to run and catch you. Because you almost landed on your head. Playing that out. So Cody Rhodes, Sandow tried to interfere, but it did not work.
No, it didn't work very well. Sandow got kicked in the face, and Fandango lost.
So Lindsay, you ready to have some kittens?
I am so ready to have some kittens.
Because this is the segment of the night. CM Punk limping to the ring, and he's got some stuff he wants to say. Right
yes,
now.
Yes, he does.
So let's talk about Brock Lesnar. You're talking about a guy who's an NCAA champion, a former WWE champion, and maybe, most impressive of all, a former UFC heavyweight champion. You're talking about a guy in his last couple of fights broke the likes of Triple H, and in the past he's broken John Cena, he's broken The Undertaker. But over all the years, over all the fights, over all the matches, Brock Lesnar's biggest strength has never been how massive of an athlete he is. It's never been his speed. It's never been his power. It's not his technique. It's not his fighting skill. Brock Lesnar's biggest weapon has always and always will be about one thing. Fear. And I've seen it firsthand. I've seen some of the toughest men I've ever had the pleasure of sharing a locker room with get instilled their hearts and their minds with fear. The WWE.com, here's your headline. WWE Magazine, here's your cover story. I am not afraid of Brock Lesnar. I am not afraid of Paul Heyman's monster. And now let's talk about Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman had a decision to make. He just made the wrong one, and I personally am going to make sure that he lives to regret it every single day of his miserable life. Because I'm relentless. I am not going to stop until Brock Lesnar lays in the same broken heap he left me in last week. I am not going to stop until Brock Lesnar disappears back into the hype from which he came from, because it doesn't matter what he thinks and it doesn't matter what Paul Heyman thinks. This is my ring. I own it. And I've proven it time and time again against any single superstar who has stepped foot in this ring and put me to the test. And I'm talking about the John Cenas. I'm talking about the Rocks. I'm talking about the Undertakers. And you damn sure betcha I would have proven it to Brock Lesnar last week until the man that I used to call my best friend stabbed me in the back for the second time. Paul Heyman. Paulie, listen up real good. I'm going to make you a promise, and this is a truth that I'm going to take to my grave. There will not be a third time. I will get my hands on you, and I will make you pay. And in the meantime, I'm not going to stand out here and pretend that Brock Lesnar isn't a big, mean, tough son of a bitch. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to pretend that Brock Lesnar isn't the monster that everybody says he is. But I will tell you this, monsters were put on this earth for one reason, and they were put directly in my path for that reason, and that reason is to be slaughtered. If Brock Lesnar's the beast incarnate, then I will slay that beast, and here's what I want. I want him one-on-one. I want him here right now, but I know he's not here. So I'll take him, and I'll kick his ass at SummerSlam, because that's what I want. At SummerSlam, I want CM Punk against Brock Lesnar. I want the best versus the beast.
The best versus the beast. The best versus the beast. I don't really care for who gets top billing, but I like it. It's clever marketing. The best versus
the... Are you here right now, Paul? Or is that via satellite the truth? Because let me tell you something. If you're here, I'm going to walk back there and I'm going to find what little hole you're hiding in, and I'm going to grab you by the fat of your neck, and I'm going to drag you out here in front of the people of Austin, and I'm going to give you exactly what you deserve.
Is this what you're reduced?
Before this continues, I'd love that CM Punk brought up the fact via satellite's not always legit.
Right, which was amazing.
Nice little shot. But we'll let this now continue.
Two now? You're going to stand there in the middle of the ring and you're going to play hero to these, Brock, what do you call them? They're not people. They're not animals. They're Texans. And, I mean, thank God that we live in the age of instant global communication so that Brock and I can deliver our message to you and the entire WWE universe and never once have to step foot in the state of Texas. But there you are, right there in front of all of your new worshipers, playing the hero. Well, Brock has a very interesting theory about heroes. Show me a hero, and I'll show you a coward that ran out of options, or a fool who is just too stupid to stay down. So what are you, punk? Are you a coward, or are you a fool?
I'll give that answer to you and your client at SummerSlam.
Look at you. Look at you. You're not recovered yet. You're all beat up from the Money in the Bank ladder match, and more specifically, you're all beat up from the heinous beating you suffered last week at the hands of the Beast Incarnate himself. So, if it's a fight that you want, CM Punk, your challenge for SummerSlam is accepted. But please stop calling this the best versus the beast, because you know as well as I do, the best is the beast. And he's my client, and he's my best friend in the world, Brock Lesnar.
And he's my best friend, Brock Lesnar.
This reminds me of a fight I had with somebody once. I'm getting way too many reminders of that.
Oh, really?
Except it wasn't as epic as this. This was absolutely incredible. This, we were all sitting here wondering how in the hell are they going to top last week, and in my opinion, this completely topped last
week without question. I would disagree. I don't think it topped. It was a good follow-up.
It was a good follow-up, but in my opinion, it's like the passion and the intensity from Punk. And, yeah, this was absolutely amazing.
There was no drop-off. I will admit, there was no drop-off. Like, we get a lot of drop-off. There was no drop-off from last week.
No, there really wasn't. And I have to applaud them for it. And, yeah, I mean, I don't even know how to verbalize how absolutely epic this was. I really don't.
The best versus the beast. That's all that needs to really be said.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's just, it was so well done. You had Heyman on there being the complete snake that he is. You had Punk full of piss and vinegar with that intensity and that fire that we all love to see from him. And he was genuine and he was serious. And, yeah, this was just absolutely incredible. And bravo to both of them. Very well done. Very well acted. You're buying this 100%. And it's like, you don't even want to see really CM Punk versus Brock. You want to see CM Punk get his hands on Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what you want to see.
And maybe that might become a stip down the line.
It may very well.
Up next, Rob Van Dam versus Wade Barrett. You knew it was an RVD match, and, well, when Wade Barrett had a busted lip.
Pretty much, yeah.
RVD wins. Not real surprise. Fine stuff.
Yeah, it was a nice little match.
Putting RVD over, that's what they're doing, so nothing wrong with that. Now it's time for the main event. Daniel Bryan runs the gauntlet. Up first, Jack Swagger.
Holy Jesus.
There was a lot of, oh, you suck chants during this one. But in a short little contest, Bryan wins via the Yes Lock.
I think one of my favorite comments during this match came from JBL, where he was sitting there and he was like, if JR is still awake and sober, he's hitting his TV right now. That was a great line. Like, if JR is awake and sober.
Yeah. The OU sucks chants from the Stirs fans isn't new. Here at every October in Cotton Bowl at Red River Rivalry, Great Rivalry started in 1900. That was his response. So there
Amazing.
You go.
Amazing.
And he also tweeted about Jerry Lawler interviewing the Total Divas is like Hugh Hefner interviewing Playmates. Hashtag slap. Hashtag what the hell was that? WWE Raw. Well played, JR. Well played.
Well done.
Okay, and then we get to match of the night. Daniel Bryan versus Antonio Cesaro. Holy hell.
This was a fantastic matchup. I think we all knew it would be. I'm pretty sure the internet just was like, oh my god, it's Daniel Bryan versus Antonio Cesaro. But this was, oh my holy hell, this was brilliant and on so many levels. And the best part of it is they gave it time.
They went 16 and a half minutes or so, if not longer. Or 60 minutes, what actually aired. There was a spot where Cesaro hit like 10 straight uppercuts on Daniel Bryan. It looked like he was out cold. This was a great, great match and a hell of a finish. He throws him up for the uppercut. Daniel Bryan, you know, comes right down into a small package for the victory. Great, great match.
Oh, it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Well done on their part. Completely brilliant. Didn't want it to end, and you're sitting there and you're like, wow, that was great. How are they going to follow that up?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we found out how.
We found out how. So, as this went on, because we're all thinking, okay, we know what's next. We know who's coming out next. Brad Maddox was teasing it. Let's see if he can fight this next person. By the way, there was a random Alex Riley show deciding on Raw.
Yeah, there really was. It was like, oh, I actually asked in the production chat, I was like, wait, is that Riley?
Was that Alex Riley? What? So, me and Lindsay goes, oh, we know who's next. It's the Big Show. No.
Where's the Dean meme that says nope?
Nope. It was the Ryback. And they had a pretty good, solid match.
You know, honestly, Daniel Bryan deserves that title just for the fact that he pulled a good match out of Swagger and Ryback, and he put on a pay-per-view quality match of the night with Cesaro.
Bryan had a Yes Lock in the ring. Ryback escaped. There was a table involved, and Ryback finally put Daniel Bryan through a table to cause the disqualification. After the match, John Cena charges down, makes a save, tossed Ryback in the ring, and then clotheslined him out of the ring. Then Cena noted that Cole noted Bryan didn't want Cena out here tonight, which makes an interesting thing for next week. Ryback bailed. Cena picked the microphone and said, Ryback thinks he's tough, taking out Bryan with a table after 30 minutes of the ring. Cena then challenged Ryback to a tables match. Right now? Right now? Now?
No, not right now.
He forgot his line. He didn't. Next week. So the announcer scrambled and said, yeah, next week. And then, so it looks like we have Ryback and Cena next week, apparently.
Didn't we get a tables match at Extreme Rules? Wasn't that one of the three stages of
that
Hell?
That was one of the three stages of Hell, yeah.
Just pointing that out. But yeah, this will create definitely some tension between Bryan and Cena for sure.
But we were not done.
No, we weren't.
Because we go backstage.
How about that? We've already got a main event for next week. I'll make it official. John Cena versus Ryback in a tables match live on Monday Night Raw.
What about Daniel Bryan? You're not going to deny Daniel Bryan competition, are you? You're not going to deny Daniel Bryan the opportunity to prove himself, are you?
Right, okay.
Daniel Bryan should face someone bigger than he is, stronger than he is. Okay. Someone who's going to bring out the vicious side of Daniel Bryan. We haven't seen that. Like, maybe a friend. Best friend?
Daniel Bryan versus Kane.
You damn right.
Daniel Bryan versus Kane. Yeah, should be interesting.
Which we all know how that will end. It will end with shenanigans with the Wyatts.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bray's going to get what he wants. Kane is coming back.
Follow the buzzards.
So the question is what state will Kane be in when he comes back? Because, well, he's been out now for, what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
3 weeks?
2 weeks.
So, yeah, with a spinal trauma. So it will be interesting to see if Kane is as nice to his little buddy as he usually is. Or if, well, Brian's got a fight on his hands.
We shall find out. But that's Monday Night Raw in a nutshell. Wasn't as good as last week.
It had its really good moments, but yeah, it was not as...
The final hour was fantastic.
Yeah, the last hour was really good. The first hour went by really quickly. The middle hour kind of dragged a little bit. And then the third hour was really strong.
So that's Monday Night Raw in a nutshell. Anything else you want to bring up before we wrap this shindig up?
No.
You good?
I'm good.
So, that being said, that's been another edition of the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where we do exist. Tomorrow night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern with Alan Wojcik. He'll be speaking to John Davis and Joey Ryan. Tune in 9 p.m. Eastern for that. Wednesday night, Cheap Heat Radio, Matthew Forsina, Scott Barry, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. They want your TNA, Mount Rushmore. Send them to GP Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and email at wildtalkradio.com. Thursday night, it's 11 p.m. Eastern. It's The Wrap.
That's right. Tune in and listen. We'll be talking all about the news and notes of the week with discussions. Something tells me we're going to be talking about, well, the Total Divas situation.
You can't marry me.
Yep, that clip. We're going to kind of get into that one a little bit. We're going to get into a couple other things. So, yeah, tune in, listen. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. We'll also be talking about Impact, what happened there, too. And go to rackradioshow.com.
Saturday night, around 10 p.m. Eastern, it's Cards Against Humanity. We get evil. The midnight-ish at CB Radio, myself, Rob Parks, and Subway Weird, wacky, the unusual. Sunday night WTR, Sunday night Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason, and Lindsay this week.
Mm-hmm.
Because Omega will be out cold from his ventures at MetroCon. Follow Omega on YouTube at youtube.com/TJOmega. So check out the WTR Sunday night Russell Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back another edition of the Raw Post Show. 11:30 p.m. Eastern right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Next Monday night, follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Join the Facebook group at Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. And check out WTRProductions.net. Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website with its brand new spanking web layout, psychwarddesigns.com. Check it out. I've worked very hard on it. New gallery, new everything. It's all shiny and pretty before I destroy it. So go check that out. Go to behance.net/LinsWard. I have a new piece inspired by Bray Wyatt up, and also it is on DeviantArt, DeviantArt.com/LinsWard. So go check it out.
So there you have it. So for Lindsay Ward, I am Sir Rock. We'll see you Thursday for The Rack, and right back here, right after Monday Night Raw, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, right here along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PWMania.com and MLandPromo.com. Good night, people.
Wildtalkradio.com.